Okay, there's this famous Rashi, which you'll read soon, and it's like it's based on a Medrash, which tells us that Yosef was punished. Remember this? Yosef was punished for 2 years because he asked the butler at the end of last week's Parsha to remember him, and because of that, Rashi quotes a Medrash that he was punished, and it took 2 extra years for him to be released from prison. It's like a Rashi you've heard of, the Medrash we've heard of. And of course, so there are two questions I wanted to address with respect to that Rashi. Number one is this like some Midrashim are like Chazal, they have a message they want to share with us. It's not really based on the text. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's like it's not really Pashup Shah in the text. Question is, what motivated the Medrash to say this? In other words, you could simply take the view at the end of last week's Parsha, right? Yosef asked the butler to remind him. Maybe the butler didn't want to remind Paro for whatever reason. And then, okay, 2 years later, the situation presented itself. Why? What motivates Rashi from the Medrash to say that this actually was a punishment? And number two, the broader question, which is what? Aren't you supposed to what? Aren't you supposed to do your hishtadlus, right? In other words, aren't you supposed to do your due diligence, right? It's always the question. Again, this is Rashi's understanding of that's Rashi quoting the Medrash. Not every commentary, not every parshan understands that Yosef committed a sin or Yosef acted incorrectly by asking the Baal to remember him. But I'm, you know, instead of, sometimes when I give a parsha shir, I analyze the text and I share a different approach to the text. This evening, I want to focus on this explanation and say, what's the evidence from the text, or why do some Mefarshim say that indeed Yosef was punished? Is there any indication? And number two, which is, you know, I think bothers us a lot, I think when we read this, is like, I don't know, if I want someone to, what's wrong with making your hishtadlus? So we're going to show three different approaches in terms of that, okay? So the pasuk is in parent, right? You've heard of this question. This question has bothered you before, right? I'm not saying something new. Okay, you have any answers to this?
I thought it was the extra word.
I understand, but like again, so what does that mean? What does that mean? The extra word, like.
I don't understand why.
You're saying what? You're explaining why it was a punishment because of lo zachar
mishkacha. I'm explaining why there's reason to be able to darshan.
Right,
you're being redundant.
So we're going to see there's some redundancy, right? Velo zachar, we're going to see some say it is redundancy, but they can point to something else that's redundant. So so we have the end of last week's parsha, the very last pasuk of last week's parsha. Velo zachar sar mashkimis Yosef eishkacheu, right? The butler did not remember Yosef and he forgot him. The Midrash Hagadol says, Zehu Shamar Hakasuv, this is what the Pasuk says. Ashrei Shekel Yaakov Ezra. We say this is the first Halukah. Right? Happy is that God, the Shekel Yaakov, the God of Yaakov when he assists him. Amar of Yosei, Bo Ure Kama Ben Haose Pitrono Bakadosh Baruch Hu Lasos Pitrono Basar Adam. I didn't know what Pitrono means, so I checked it up in Google Translate. You know what Pitrono is? Patron. I think it's what it means. He says, come and see what is the difference between someone who makes his patron with God, meaning like that God is his patron, like he's going to rely on God to do his will, versus to say that his patron, that the one who's going to do his will, is going to be a man of flesh and blood, right? Ashikel Yaakov Ezra. So happy is someone who the God of Yaakov is going to help him. So we see, look and see how much more beneficial it is for someone to choose God as his patron as opposed to another person. If someone makes depends on, a person of flesh and blood. Lo dayosh ein srachov nasim. Not only do we say that his needs are not done by this patron, but he is considered cursed. Cursed is the person who has faith in man. And he places, you know, I guess his flesh and in his strength. The va'osa pitrona b'kadosh baruch hu, and if someone who makes his, it depends on God, lo yedei she'tzrachim nasim, not only are his needs met, elashum misparech, but he is blessed. So blessed is the person who has faith in God. And then he says, Yosef, Lafisha, Nasam, Bitchonu, Basar, Redam, Yosef, because he placed his faith in mankind, Dichsiv, Ki'im, Zechartani, right? But you have to remember, remember me, Ma, Nemar, Boaz, Pasik, Save, Lo, Zechar, Sam, Ashkim, as Yosef. So he didn't remember him. Yosef said, remember me, and he didn't remember him. So he's playing this exact same thing, Zechartani, Lo, Zechar. Right? So again, it could point to his wickedness. Seems that the Midrash here says same language. Rashi says, "Vayishkachehu la'achar mikad." He didn't remember him now, and he forgot him afterwards. Mipnei shatala bo Yosef bitchono lizichro, because Yosef allowed him to remember him. Who's kaklios aser od shtei shanim? So he needs to be in jail for another 2 years. Can also question is why 2 years? Is there significance to that? Shenemar Asher Gever Sher Sama Shem Biftacho Velo Pana El Rehavim. Okay, so the Pasuk Ketilim says, happy is the person who places God as his security. It doesn't turn to Rehavim. So what are Rehavim? Velo Batach Al Mitzrayim Hakuyim Rahav. I think Rahav, I looked in Mitzudat Zion, like the commentary, like, you know, this is the translation. Yeshaya, it says Rehavim is from Gaiva. So I guess the Egyptians were arrogant. So this is a hint to, you know, cursed is so, like, happy is someone who places faith in God and doesn't turn to the Egyptians and doesn't have faith or trust on the Egyptians. Yosef did, and therefore he has to be in jail for another 2 years. Now, Sifsei Chachamim is addressing, I also saw this in the Gur Aryeh, why does Rashi assume, Rashi quoted the Midrash, why does the Midrash assume that this was a punishment for Yosef? Right? There could be three possibilities, I guess, at least three possibilities. Either it just happened, no punishment, like either, I don't know, the Saramashim just forgot. It seems very hard because he didn't remember and he forgot. It seems that something was deliberate here, there was some plan. Or it could be that the reason why we waited 2 years, it was the fault of the butler, or Yosef could have been punished, right? Different possibilities as to the reason. So the Sifrei Chachamim wants to say, im lo kein, mai nafkamina dichsiv v'lo zachar. Why did you have to say v'lo zachar? That he didn't remember. Im ba lomar shelos achesed. If all the Torah wanted to say is that the butler did not act kindly towards Yosef, ze nichtav kvar v'himi ketshnasayim. In other words, what Sifrei Chachamim is saying, that if the Torah wanted to say that the reason why the Yosef stayed in jail for another 2 years is because of the butler's bad behavior, the Torah could have simply told us, Yosef told the butler, you know, please tell Paro now that I was thrown in this pit and I can help out and please free me. And then we can read, and it was after 2 years that the butler then came to Paro. And one would infer, well, would infer that the butler was not acting appropriately. Okay? So it's a little bit different than what you were suggesting. That's what he said, Gorey said the same thing. And he says, Ela Lomar, Siba Haisa Mesa Shem Yisparach, Shleiskiro Ad Achar Shtei Shadim. That there must have been some other reason by God that it didn't mention for 2 years. Bibnei Shetal Bitchot Besar Mashkim. So we have to find a reason, and then we're going to say because he relied on the Sar Mashkim. In other words, it's a little bit different. It's the Torah, Yosef says to Saramashkim, remember me? 2 years later, he remembers him. Oh, of course, Saramashkim has been guilty here. He's not acting appropriately. The fact that then it also says he didn't remember and he forgot, there seems to be that God's at play. And then we're thinking about, well, what did Yosef do wrong? And then we're suggesting potentially that maybe he relied on the butler when he shouldn't have. Okay, that's the evidence. It's, I don't know, you know, maybe you could say also velozachar mishkachay. I like your idea also, Aaron. Maybe he said, why say he didn't remember and he forgot him? It might have been, could have simply been he didn't remember he forgot. I didn't see it inside, but that could also be potentially. So what was the problem? What did Yosef do that was wrong? So different possibilities. If you look here, the Midrash Seichel Tov, he says, "Vahimi keish l'asayim yomim l'sof shneim." Right, it says that it was after two years. Paro is dreaming. So what does it mean? L'sof shtei shanim li'yeshivas sar mashkim al kono. 2 years after the sar mashkim is now back in his position. V'lamini sachar bei shanim. Why is it 2 years? Keneged bei zechiro. So one possibility is Yosef mentioned the word zechartani twice. He mentioned the word "remember me." So right. One year per zechira. Okay, so that's what he says. Fine. If you look in the Gur Aryeh, he says a little bit differently. The Gur Aryeh, that's like a super commentary. That's the Maral, super commentary on Rashi, and he says "Ve'im Tomar, my time of Dafka Shtei Shanim." Why specifically 2 years? "Ve'ish Mafarshim Nichsiv." He says "Ve'hiskartani Votseisani." So that could be. Remember me and bring me out. V'neged elu shnei dvarim nigzar lav lios aser ol shtei shanim. So maybe he thinks it's the two words of what you should do. He's kartani votzei sadi. So that's what another explanation. And then he also says v'nira lomar kamo azman shi mekav lo mitzap lo shi yisker also. Maybe it was the same amount of time that Yosef was happy that was hoping that the butler would remember him. Kach nigzar lav shi aser. That's how long he should be in jail. Yosef hoped that he would remember up until a year. Why? What happens until a year? What happens until a year? So there's this Gemara that says the following. He said, once he didn't remember him until a year, so then he's not going to remember it anymore. In other words, Yosef was waiting. He was waiting up to a year for the butler to do something. Once a year passes, then the butler's not going to remember her anymore. Why is that? So he cites the Gemara in Brachos. Haroas chaver lacha yud beis chos. Let's say you haven't seen your friend in 12 months. What do you say? Baruch mechayim esim. Why? Why is it baruch mechayim esim? Maybe now if like you have Zoom or email or phone, so maybe that might not apply. But if you haven't seen your friend in 12 months, you say baruch mechayim esim. Blessed God who revived the dead. Why is that? That 12 months you forget. Okay? There's this idea that you forget after 12 months. So therefore you say Baruch Chaim Esim. And therefore, within 12 months, Yosef mitzape lo shadai lo nishkach mimenu. Yosef was hoping that the butler, maybe the butler's waiting for the right opportunity. Okay? But however, after 12 months, he's not going to have hope anymore. So for these, So Yosef was hoping for a year, so therefore, he waited another year. That's the way the Gur Aryeh wants to say. Yosef is waiting for a year, and then 1 year opposite that year. Okay. Yeah, maybe. Okay, so anyway, that's how he gets it from these extra terms. What's fascinating is that we tend to think that Yosef is someone who didn't have faith in Hashem, right? Like as you say, you know, happy is someone who has faith in Hashem, and he didn't turn to the Egyptians, and Yosef is someone who did not have faith in Hashem. If you look in the Midrash, it's not what the Midrash says. Look at the second to last source here, Bereishis Rabbah, on this page, Bereishis Rabbah. Ashrei hagever asher sam Hashem miftacho. So happy is the person who places God as his security. Say Yosef, this is Yosef. Velopana el rehavim, and he didn't turn to the rehavim. Al yedei she'amar l'sara mashkim, Zechartani v'hiskartani, and he tells you lo shtei shanim. Because he said to the Sar Mashkim, Zechartani and hiskartani, 2 years were added to him. So how is Yosef characterized here? Is he someone who has faith or who doesn't have trust in God?
He does.
He does. But what? So is that it? If you look at this, is that the complete takeaway from this midrash, this passage, that he does have faith in God?
Except in this instance.
Yeah, he had a lapse.
Right. In other words, it seems, I just want to point this out, it's not that Yosef is someone who doesn't have faith in God. He's someone who does have faith in God, but he messed up here a little bit. Right? I would say that's the full midrash. It's not like there's this other model of someone who has faith in God, The model of someone who has or trust, I think more of trust or faith, bitachon is more trust probably. That there's a model of some other individual who has trust in God, and then there's Yosef. No. Yosef is the model. Right? In other words, when the midrash, when the pasuk in Tehillim says, "Asher gever sher sam Hashem mivtacho," and the midrash wants to identify who is that individual who does have bitachon in Hashem. You know what it is? It's Yosef. Now, he's someone who should not turn to the Egyptian, so that's Yosef also. So it's not what people think that Yosef completely lacked bitachon. Yosef is someone who is the man of bitachon with a little bit of a lapse. So we have to try to understand what that lapse is. You understand what I'm saying? That's the first point. So I'm going to share with you three explanations. I'm not as excited about the first. That's what I'm going to say at first. You build up to it, okay? So, three explanations as to Yosef's lack of bitachon in this instance. So the first, I found this in Rav Shlomo Kluger, in a work called Imrei Shefer. So he says, again, Rav Kluger, okay. He says, Im haya Yosef, sam ikar bitachono b'kadosh baruch hu, lo haya lo lishtadel levakesh techef be'et pitaron misar mashkim. If Yosef really had faith in God, trust in God, he should not have asked the butler to, when he solved his dream, to remember him. He should have waited 3 days until the butler was taken out. In other words, don't use your hishtadlus if it's unnecessary. Always have faith in God until it's necessary to have hishtadlus. There is no need to ask the butler now. Why? Because the butler is not leaving jail for 3 more days. So Yosef should have still had faith in God or trust in God that maybe God would do something the next 3 days. He went a little too overboard. Okay. And then, but by the way, then he should have, in other words, he should have asked the butler in 3 days' time before he's about to leave at that point. Right? Maybe then the butler wouldn't be as excited anymore. Because imagine right now, Yosef is interpreting the dream. Right now, butler thinks, oh, this is amazing. Amazing work, Yosef. Right now is the prime time for Yosef to think, to say something to the butler that the butler will listen to. So maybe now Yosef thought it'd be more opportune time to get the butler to listen to him. Then 3 days from now, but okay. She patilo she comes to Dvarav. So then the words will enter him. Yosef mivaznav mikol makom. Nevertheless, revach vatol if they are kadosh baruch hu makom acher. But maybe salvation will come from another place. Why is Yosef assuming salvation will come from the butler? The butler can't help him for 3 days. Why say it now? Umadu tzarich levakish od kodem beijamim kodem. Why does Yosef have to? Yosef asked him 2 days earlier. He's leaving in 3 days. He asked him 2 days earlier. So what's cute about his explanation is that it can explain ulkach kevon shigdima Yosef atzo beiz yamim mikodem lechei nenas beiz shanim yom l'shana kamo shenenshim raglim arbaim shana yom l'shana. He says Yosef asked the butler to remember him 2 days earlier, so he was punished. And you know when you make mistakes for a day, you get punished a year, right? Where do we see that by the raglim? They were there for 40 days, probably 40 years. Okay, it's cute. Okay. So that's like one way of looking at this. Okay. The two that I think, the two more popular answers, I think, are the Beis Halevi and the Chazon Ish in dealing with this. Again, none of them assume that Yosef is someone who doesn't have bitachon Hashem, since there was a little bit of a lapse. So let's see what the Beis Halevi, right, says about this. He says the following. He says, B'midrash Rabbah, Parashas Miketz. He says, Asher gever sher sam Hashem biftacho, zeh Yosef. Yosef has bitachon Hashem. V'lo padal ravim, but he shouldn't turn to the Egyptians. Sh'al yedei sh'amar l'sar mashkim, v'zachartani, nitzos lo sh'tei shenei. Because he went to the butler, 2 years were added to his prison term. V'rabim chakru al midrash, b'asher v'tchilo zeh Yosef. And many people are asking on the midrash, that in the beginning said, this is Yosef. What do you mean Yosef has bitachon Hashem? No, this whole midrash is telling us Yosef didn't have bitachon Hashem. Ubeuro hapashit. What's the understanding? Dine be'emes ha-Torah hitira la'adam ha-hishtadlus b'tzarchei gufo. The Torah allows us to use hishtadlus. Now, this, in other words, don't, Wait, if you want to argue on Rashi, you can argue on Rashi. You're allowed to. You can argue with Rashi. But don't say that Rashi, though, the Beilezer understands, don't say that Rashi holds that we don't believe in Ishtadlus, in putting forth your efforts. No, of course. The Torah, Rashi understands, the Torah believes that you have to put forth your best efforts for your own needs. Uchmo sha'amar ha'kasuf, u'beiracho b'chol asher taseh. The Torah says that God's going to bless you with that which you do. V'chein k'siva, safte g'nech v'ziroshchav. Right? What does the Torah say? We say this every day in Shema, twice a day, that you're going to gather your grain. There's a mitzvah to act normally, naturally in this world. Amar Rabbi Yishmael b'Maseches Brachos. Rabbi Yishmael says, b'Maseches Brachos, Haneg b'hem minag derech eretz, right? Rabbi Yishmael is the learner-earner rabbi, right? You have Shem Bar Yochai, he's the kolah rabbi. He said if you're the highest level, you won't need to do any work. But Rabbi Shmuel holds that you could be a learner-earner. You could learn, but you could also work the land. We believe in making hishtadlus in this world. The Torah believes in this. So what's the idea here? Why was Yosef punished? Ve'ha'ikar, ve'ikar inyan, yesh lomar. What's the idea? You could say, dezeu klal le'ish Yisraeli, she'yia libo shoket u'boteach b'Hashem. So really, a Jew should be, like his heart should be quiet, he should have faith in God. Ve'ha, really, we should all have tremendous faith in Hashem. V'hadi tira Torah lishtadlus, who mishum de lo kol adam yochel agi lemadregas habitachon agamor. Why does the Torah allow us to have ishtadlus? Is that ideal or not? So this is like a major debate. So I'll bring you like the Ramban, for example, says, and this is like a major point of contention between, let's say, the Ramban and the Rambam, the mystics and the rationalists, a little bit. The Ramban will say, at the end of the day, if we're at a certain level, we're not going to need, you know, we're not going to need to do natural things. In other words, we're going to have greater hashgacha, divine assistance from God, if we're at the level.
Supernatural.
What?
Yeah, the supernatural.
Yeah, a little bit supernatural, right. In other words, the idea of that when Chizkiyahu HaMelech was sick, so what do you do? He calls Yeshayahu. He doesn't call the doctor. He calls the prophet. What am I doing wrong? So when you're at the level, so according to this approach, most of us, 99% of us, right, we're not at the level. Right, it's okay. So we have to do ishtadlus, and it's okay. It's totally legitimate. Valkeid huter lo ishtadlus techiya lo siyo shegi lemadreas habotech, and you're allowed to make your ishtadlus, your efforts, in order you'll have help that you can reach the level where you will have trust. V'tzar kol adam lechadesh lo malacha. Then every person needs to have work, ve'esek, and business. Kadesh shiya naka lo liftop Hashem. The goal is you need to have trust in Hashem. But you know what? It's a very important point here. Like, everyone has to have faith in Hashem, but you need to put forth enough hishtadlus so that you can have faith in God. What do I mean by that? Let's say someone's not ready to be on the level, and they like say, you know what, I'm going to live in abject poverty. I'm going to learn day and night. I'm going to live in abject poverty. And then you know what, after a year or two, they began to hate God, and they look at all their friends, and like they said, listen, I'm going to learn day and night. Look at their friends who are living, who have a nice house and nice whatever things, and they get really upset, right? And they start maybe going up to Derek or you know, being upset at God. They're not at the level. That person needs to make ishtadlus. There are some people who maybe they can live on, you know, we're basically totally relying on God. But this idea that it's normal. The goal is that we should have faith in God. We should have trust in God. So you need to do your hishtadlus so that you can leave the rest up to God. It's a little strange. It's like it's a little bit the opposite. You might think, well, you know what? I gotta work on my bitachon, you know, to have faith in God. It's true. But you also gotta work on your hishtadlus so that you make your hishtadlus and then you're okay after that. And he says, and very often the Torah allows us to do things that may be less than ideal in order to reach a higher level of bitachon. Sometimes the Torah says better do mitzvos, sometimes it's good to do mitzvos, not for the highest level, because it will lead to it eventually. Sometimes the Torah allows us to do things for less than ideal motivations. We're not bad people. It's just that we're not at the level. That's okay. Our job is always to work on ourselves, to grow. But it's okay if we're like not at this highest spiritual level. That's okay. We just have to constantly work to that. And because we're on the highest spiritual level, hishtadlus is okay. And sometimes ulterior motivation is okay. It's okay. This is part of being a human being, being a Jew. And then he says, "Vimkein shir ha'ishtadlus ha'nirtza eino shel b'chol adam." So the point of the Beis Halevi says the amount of hishtadlus depends on the person. There's not an amount, you know, everyone needs to earn this amount. No. Different people need to earn different amounts depending on their level. Right? If someone can reach this level of bitachon with less work, if I reach the level where I only need to earn X amount, and the rest of the time I should be learning and doing engaged in spiritual endeavors, and then I go above and beyond to earn, because right, then that's a sin for me. Because again, how do you know? It's a question. I understand, but if you reach a certain level where you feel like I can earn this amount, I can make this amount of hishtadlus, and the rest I have bitachon, and then all of a sudden I say no, I need more hishtadlus, so that's not good, right? So he says, you went too far after your shalos, and you didn't have faith in Hashem. My bitachon is less than my friend. Okay, for whatever reason, you know, I have less bitachon than you. You grew up in a much better house than I did, or whatever. You were surrounded by people who inspired you more than me. That's okay. So I need to do more yishtalos than you, and that's okay. That's okay. The key is, you got to find, and I'm always working on that, you got to find that kind of like balance where like you're working, right, in a way where you feel like, I'll leave the rest to God. Like you feel you've done your part, I'll leave the rest to God. And we're always working on that. We're always trying to say, do I need to work more? Do I need to work less? And we try to be, you know, intellectually honest as much as possible. And sort of at the end of this, he basically says that Yosef, he goes on a few lines later, he says, the hishtadlus of Yosef, they said to Sar Mashkim, so that was very little hishtadlus, right? But he writes here that for Yosef, that was too much. And that's basically the Beis Halevi's point. He says, for most of us, Yosef hishtadlus was not a big deal. But for Yosef, he didn't need to do that. Yosef always, you know, it's all in the hands of God. This is Yosef's issue. In other words, we shouldn't learn for us. And in other words, what's he saying? He's actually saying, Ashrei gever asher sam Hashem bivtacho, who is the ideal person who always has God on his lips? Yosef. Who is the individual who always is known as a person who has faith in God, always has bitachon, trust in God? It's Yosef. And that's why he was punished. Because he was on the level. He was on that supernatural, Ramban-esque level where he didn't need to say anything. He didn't need to do that. Everything's in the hands of God. He was on that level. And again, it's not, you say, well you know, was Yosef, you know, to, what do we learn from, can we learn from that? So maybe what we learn from that is that for us, that might be acceptable hishtadlus, but there is a level which is not acceptable hishtadlus. So in other words, the point of the Beis Halevi is we got to sort of, we work on ourselves, try to find that balance where we have enough hishtadlus to the fact that then we have the bitachon and we're calm, and we should try not to, go whatever that level is and try to work on ourselves and calm ourselves and always try to increase our level where we have faith in Hashem. That's the Beis Halevi. So in other words, there's a fluid hishtadlus. Okay, one final explanation. The Chazon Ish is something different, and then Rav Shechter has a take on this. So we're going a little bit over. The Chazon Ish says, "Va'omnam biyoshi lefi tchunas harahavim, ein betiva liskor lehetiv." The Chazon Ish says, the Egyptians are not going to want to help Yosef. They're not going to want to help Yosef. In roy hamaisa hazeh rak mitoch yeyosh. The only reason why Yosef would have asked this butler, there's no way he, like, that's not regular hishtadlus. That's crazy. Because there's no way that the Sar Mashkim would, that this Egyptian want to help a Hebrew. And it's only because Yosef just gave up. If you give up hope, what do? You just try anything, even if it's crazy. In other words, Yosef was acting crazy. It doesn't seem like that, but Yosef was acting crazy and asking the Egyptian. And he says, "Aval ein lebotech lasus kabal eila." Someone who has faith and has trust in God, you don't have to go do everything. You don't have to do. This is not obligatory to do something, which is crazy. What Yosef did was like throwing dust on the glowing of, on the radiance of faith and trustworthiness in God. Because Yosef was not obligated to do this, he assumed it's forbidden. It's not saying that Yosef was someone who didn't have faith in God. This particular behavior was wrong, but Yosef was someone who had a lot of faith in Hashem. V'yada Yosef she'ein ezer ben adam bilti biyad Hashem avad. Yosef knew that only Hashem could help. Aval ma shechayev atzmo lishol misar mashkim lo, I think it's lo chayev lefi kabbalat chazal did emes. Aval ela, this behavior of Yosef is wrong because it demonstrated that Yosef gave up hope, that he was engaged in something which was crazy, which demonstrated that he had given up hope. And just to sort of put this in modern perspective, Rav Shachter, I think on the same lines of the, and as the Chazon Ish, says, Bitachon requires that we act in accordance with our emunah, i.e. in accordance with this principle of faith that there is Hashgacha Pratis. We have to believe that Hashem has a plan. While one must engage in Hishtadlus, he should not fall to pieces considering the possibility that he may accidentally die, etc. The outcome of all situations is dictated by the will of Hashem, and everything Hashem does is ultimately Latov. In other words, what are we saying here? That if you're going through a situation, what do? You do everything reasonable. You totally do everything reasonable. But what? And then, no anxiety. Now, it's obviously easier said than done. But basically, you do everything that is reasonable to do, and then everything's in the hands of God. The Egyptians of old were known as an ungrateful bunch. As such, for Yosef to ask the Sarah Mashkim to remember him was grasping at straws. It was a totally ineffective act, which would only be engaged in out of desperation. One who has emuna in Hashgacha Pratis would always maintain his calm and never fall to pieces. Bitachon means that one acts in accordance with his emuna in Hashgacha Pratis. Losing one's calm and falling into a state of desperation indicates that one's belief in Hashgacha Pratis is not really that strong. So in other words, okay, we have the first answer, which is, the Imre Shefer, he didn't wait 2 days. But the Beis HaLevi and Emunah Bitachon, in terms of the balance of Hishtadlus and Bitachon, the Beis HaLevi is basically saying that our level of Hishtadlus, it depends on the person. And some people need more Hishtadlus than others, and that's okay. And we should always be working. We should always be working on having more and more Bitachon. And once we reach a certain level, then we have to try to maintain that level. That's one piece. And the Chazon Ish is basically saying, for me, the Chazon Ish resonates a lot with me, that approach, the way Rav Shechter explains it, resonates a lot with me. That the idea is that, of course we believe in making Hishtadlus, but like doing things that are crazy, again, it's hard to know, like Hartas reading the text, that asking the butler is crazy. I would not have necessarily thought that at the outset, but to do something that's like crazy or to be full of anxiety, that is a violation of Bitachon. Doing everything that is reasonable, natural, that could lead to success in whatever you want to achieve, that is something that is totally, completely legitimate, acceptable, and even encouraged. As long as once you do that, you say, listen, Hashem, I did all that I could. And then, right, we don't rely on miracles, but then I leave it all up to you. So in other words, both the Beis HaLevi and the Chazon Ish are turning the whole Rashi Midrash story on its head. It's not saying that Yosef, sinned because he did Hishtadlus and you're not supposed to do Hishtadlus. No, 100% you're supposed to do Hishtadlus. The problem is when you do more than, your level, or like the Chazon, that's Beis HaLevi, or like the Chazon Ish, when you do, not just you don't do Hishtadlus, but you act out of a sense of desperation, and you act out of a sense of, I can't anymore, and you don't have this peace of mind, sort of to say, I do all that I can, Hashem put me on this earth, He knows what's best for me, I'm doing all that I can, and then I leave it all up to God. Again, it's a tall order, but something we should maybe always think about and work on, and I'm working on that myself. And hopefully this should help us in this direction.